Joining me now is Chief Tom Turner, and welcome to our town, Chief.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's December now, and we're getting ready into the holiday months. And I wanted to bring you on here because I wanted to talk about traffic and traffic laws.
Okay.
I've just noticed recently, and it's everybody, not everybody, but some people aren't aware of some of the important rules of the road. Like, for example, the center line. I noticed the other day a lady used it for traveling from the Rite Aid to Fred Meyer. And luckily, she didn't get hit. What is the proper way to use that center line there?
Right. So that's a great question because you see a lot of people doing that. And what it is, I think people get kind of frustrated because they can't get into the traffic. You know, they just can't get across, and it's just the time is clicking in their head for some reason, and they think, I got to get across the road here. So the center lane is only to go from wherever you're at to get into the center lane and then wait to make the lane change. So you're not supposed to travel more than 100 feet in the center lane. And you see people all the time where they get in the center lane, they drive all the way down the center lane, maybe to their next stop. Or they're thinking they're getting up to speed, then they're going to get into traffic. That's not what that lane is for. Because one of the problems that people run into when they do that, when they violate that center lane law, is somebody else will be coming from the opposite direction, getting in the center lane for the same reason, and you can't run into each other, and you can't use that as a lane of travel. It is simply a lane to get into to make a lane change into the lane that you want to choose.
So if there's traffic coming, can you pull in, stop, and put your blinker on until your immediate lane frees up?
Yes. And that's what it was designed for, is to get across, you know, slowly but surely get across the traffic lanes. Because sometimes one lane will clear up quicker than the other, usually the lane that's coming at you. And so it's not designed as a travel lane. It's designed to get the person from one position to the next position to make safe passage into their final destination.
So you mentioned 100 feet. Now, what about, like, sometimes I'll come down from the north and pull into our lot here at Napa, mm-hmm. which is almost directly adjacent to the Fred Meyer lane to turn in there. And so I wait till the last minute, but I notice sometimes that people are already pulling into that lane in front of Bi-Mart or close to Bi-Mart to try to get to Fred Meyer.
And again, that's why everybody has to be careful, because it's essentially meant to just go from one position to the next. But 100 feet is the longest you're supposed to travel in that lane before you make another lane change. So people have to be really cognizant of that, because it's really easy to violate.
What are some of the other most violated traffic laws that people just maybe when you give them the ticket, they go, well, I just wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, there's a couple. Easily here in Florence, if you look at our statistics, it's speeding. So people have to be very aware of the posted speed, particularly in the school zones, you know, all through the school season, particularly when children are present. You have to be really cautious. It's 20 miles an hour, which is really slow. And people don't recognize, they're thinking, well, I'm just keeping with the flow of traffic. It's a very slow speed for a very intended purpose, to stay safe. The thing that's disconcerting for some people is that there is a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit on 101. It's a certain section there for the school zone. And there's also, they're on Kingwood, a 20-mile-an-hour zone, both kind of away from what people think of as the school. But they have to recognize, they got to watch those posted speeds. And by far, that's our biggest ticket. And it's not for little violations. They're for much bigger violations. So the fine is graduated from 0 to 20 miles an hour, or I'm sorry, 0 to 10 miles an hour, 10 to 20, 20, 21 and over. And the fines increase significantly. The average speeding ticket is at least $165.
Wow.
So that's just a start.
Wow.
That's just our fine. It could be somebody, if you're stopped by state police or another agency, easily the presumptive fine could be much higher, sometimes in the 500 range.
So, is it higher on 101 than it is on, say, the side streets?
It could be. It all depends on how fast you're going. If you're going 70 down 101, absolutely, you could get a very high fine. And you could get a high fine in the cross streets. But, you know, each agency has their own set fines. But there's a presumptive set that's pretty high, and some agencies follow that as well.
On the north side of town, where does the city limits stop at Hasita Beach Road?
Yes.
Okay. I noticed that that's a popular lane for people to turn into there. But several hundred yards before that, the speed turns to 55, which you'll find some people don't want to get up to 55 before they turn into there because, you know, it just it doesn't seem safe. Is that a problem in that area, or do does the ODOT need to move that 55 to pass to Hasita Beach Road?
We're not. I don't know about whether they need to move that or not. Again, there's a center lane, so you can
people
get in.
People push
you. Oh yeah, you can get in that center lane. You can make your turn, but again, 100 feet. You want to stay, you know, fairly succinct as to when you're going to turn.
That's what I'm saying. Because going from 55 to zero in
right.
100 feet is.
That can be tricky,
yeah.
And people, there isn't any variation there. So in theory, you could get a ticket for impeding traffic if you're going too slow. That's usually pretty rare, but that does happen once in a while. And you have to be cognizant of that. You know, traffic flow is traffic flow. And that, you know, that may be something you just want to make sure what very cognizant of what you're doing. And that goes for everybody all the time. And those are, once again, people sometimes equate the coast with being a place where you can drive where there won't be any ice or difficult road conditions, and that just simply isn't true. We very frequently experience freezing conditions, certainly on the roadway 126 from the valley to Florence often is very treacherous. And then periodically we have really difficult roadways here in town because it'll freeze overnight, it's moist, and people just have to be really cognizant of that when they come into Florence. And they need to tell their relatives and their friends as well, because that's something we see people miss once in a while. And then they have a crash or they have some sort of incident that could have been avoided if they just practiced a little caution, because it gets just as cold here as other places in the valley. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that distracted driving is still way up there. It's a very heavy fine, starts at about $260, goes up to a couple thousand dollars, depending on how many times you've violated, and people are still doing it. The biggest one is they come up to a stop sign or a stoplight, and they think that's the time when I can return my text, and it just isn't. You can't do it while you're in your car driving, whether you're stopped or not. If you're legally off the roadway in a parking place, somewhere where you are not in traffic anymore and in park, you can, of course, but I see it all the time at the stop signs and the red lights. People will think, well, I'm going to return my text really quick, or I'm going to make a quick phone call. You can't do either. You simply cannot use your device while you're driving.
Yeah, because other vehicles are moving, too, and
right.
you've got to be ready for whatever happens.
And something could happen. And the other thing that we get a question once in a while, the hands-free systems, absolutely. You can utilize those. That's why they made them. But an 18-year-old or an under-18-year-old driver has to remember, even though that system is in there, they can't use it until they're 18 or older. So a younger driver, even though it might be in the car that they're driving, they cannot utilize that or their cell phone, and they have to wait until they're 18 or older to use that.
So how can you tell if someone's just talking to themselves or talking on the phone?
It's
a judgment call?
Again, from what I've seen, it's not hard to discern. It really isn't. People have their phones right up to their face all the time.
Well, I was just talking like with the hands-free in
the
car.
Oh, yeah. Hands-free in the car could be different. And you'd kind of take into account what's the model year and how new the car, new or old the car is. Because some cars simply don't have that system. You know, they wouldn't have the capability of that system in a 1950s car. But they might in a newer car. And it wouldn't be too terribly hard to tell once you get going. A lot of people will put their phone on speakerphone, and they think that that's how they can manage that. And so they have that one swipe, one touch. That won't cut it either. If you, in fact, got in a crash or got into some sort of jam, that also would be a violation of the law.
All right, let's talk a couple other quick traffic items that people may not be sure of. One is an important one is crossings. Marked or unmarked pedestrian crossings, what is the responsibility of first a driver?
Right. So we have a couple of pedestrian crossings on Highway 101. They flash yellow. You're supposed to stop. You're supposed to allow the pedestrians to go by, and then you can proceed. The thing that a driver has to remember about that is the person has to be all the way across. So it can't just be across their lanes and then they go. They have to make it from sidewalk to sidewalk. So you need to wait until that person makes it from sidewalk to sidewalk. The other thing that you see pretty frequently is you'll see people just miss it completely. And so that may not be distracted driving. That may be, you know, something else may be going on, but it is something you have to watch. And we do have that. So if they see activity on the sidewalk, they see people waiting at that, you know, and the light just hasn't started to flash yet. There's a lot of kind of signals that you're going to have to pay attention to when you get to those particular spots. And that's not just here. That's in communities all over, you know, all over Oregon, all over the country. They have those. There's a couple here in Florence, like on 9th, for instance, 9th and Kingwood. That isn't a stop. And people will stop to try and make that work. They can continue to proceed. The pedestrians have to wait for the cars there. Now, that's something that maybe we ought to change, and that's something that we ought to look at as a traffic piece. But it says right on the pedestrian sign, vehicles do not yield. It's just one of the differences. So sometimes what you'll see is you'll see people stop there, and it's not a stop, and the pedestrian will come across. All I want is people to be safe. But there are some differences, and they got to make sure that the crosswalk that they're entering or the pedestrian crossing that they're coming up on is the right one and that they know the rules pertaining to that particular stop.
So on the flashing ones, mm-hmm. it's sidewalk to sidewalk.
Right.
Now, on the non-flashing ones, is that just two lanes past you? Like on the five lane we have, like if they're – because I thought there were some that if
there's some that it's past – yeah, it's a stop sign.
If they're past your lane and the lane next to you, then you can
– right, then you can proceed.
Okay. Now, what happens when a pedestrian doesn't hit the button for the flashing lights and cross? I saw that the other day.
Yep.
Kind of made me nervous because some people didn't notice this person in the crosswalk. Yep.
You're still going to wind up being at fault. You're responsible for those pedestrian crossings as a driver. And it just comes down to that's something that you should have taken care of and watched for. The flashing light is to alert you that it's happening, but it isn't meant as a
it's basically just an extra precaution.
You're free of responsibility if the lights don't flash. You still have responsibility. It's similar to what we talked about earlier, where if the lights go out because of a storm or because of power outage, you're still responsible for prudent driving as you're coming into a location like that.
All right. So one other one then would be storm happens. Traffic lights go out. People come to no lights versus, you know, no lights or flashing red lights.
Just black.
What's the responsibility?
Again, just similar, like it's a stop sign. So you might as well just think of in your mind that there's a red stop sign there because that's what you need. You just stop, make sure that your right of way is observed. So whoever gets there first, basically, and then to the next. I think in the DMV book, it's to the right. And you proceed with caution. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, you have to stop. Mm-hmm. Stop first, see what it is, and then you can go forward.
All right. Well, Chief, thank you so much for updating us on that. I just want people to know, especially that center lane, it's not to get you to your next destination.
Yeah, not designed to be a travel lane.
All right. Chief, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Next, we'll talk with Meg Spencer and Russ Pearson about Siuslaw Vision coming up on the December edition of Our Town.